before the state of Maryland, before Department of Labor Licensing and Regulation, they have been determined to be employees within the meaning of the law. So both with regard to the state of Maryland and the federal government, they have been considered to be employees. Yet, this contract for both the concession contract for the taxi drivers and the concession contract for shuttle drivers is bid just like that and does not include any of the procurement provisions that you would normally apply to those type of things. I'd like to, just for a minute if I can, bring up the president of this association, Mr. Menu Sampson, and also ask that the, because you have a whole bunch of drivers here from all over, there's 324 drivers, if you could stand up. And this is just a small portion of the drivers that are there who come to the United States hoping to sort of get part of that American dream of wages and what they can do for their families, and found out it's quite the opposite. In fact, many of these people don't even make minimum wage, let alone living wage. Many of these people will wait outside BWI in line for a ride, for a fare, for many hours, and have very little say over their working conditions. I'm here asking today that you revisit these two contracts. I will tell you, I had been involved in two other contracts, one in actually in San Francisco with the Alcatraz, and another one in another state, where the Department of Labor ruled, in fact, these concession contracts were service contracts within the meaning of the Service Contract Act, and that, therefore, they had to carry prevailing wages. Here, we have never, these contracts have never been sent over from the Department of Transportation to determine whether or not, should they, these be bid as employee-employer contracts, bearing both prevailing wage or living wage or any of these others, because that is all these people want, is some basic standard wages which every single person in this room wants and needs.
Yes, thank you for giving us a chance to be here today. We are here to say we need your support to do our job in a better way, in an American way, rather than in a like a no man's land way. I tell you to do, you do it. I tell you what to make, you make it. Or you are out of here. So we need, there is a contract, as the lawyer describes, we've been found legally by the National Labor Relations Board as an employee. But since then, we've never been accepted as an employee. They are writing the new contract now, which starts April 1st, 2011. It says the same thing, independent contractors. Nothing changed. The same rules, the same applications. Either you have to respect this or you're out. We, the drivers, have nothing to say on this. Nothing. We don't have no rights to say right or wrong. Whether this is legal or illegal, we have to accept it as it is. So instead of this contract, we want the state to give us an agreement that protects the right of the drivers as well as the right of the management. And this contract has been extended for 3 times before. And this is going to be the 4th time to be extended now. And there was a contract. It was offered to the public. And we don't know what happened to the contract. And now it is going to be renewed. And we asked what's going to happen to the contract in writing. The response was, it is on review, and we will let you know what's going on in writing. We have never received anything. We just find out that today, an extension being requested at the Board of Public Works. And We just happened to be here. We just happened to be looking on the internet and then find out that.
And let me just say a couple of last things. Is that I was lucky enough to serve on a task force that you had for the Workplace Fraud Act and putting together that piece of legislation, which I think is a marvelous piece of legislation. It almost behooves, it's almost very strange that we have here people who might very well fit as employees within the meaning of that law, yet no payroll taxes are paid on these people at all. No workers' comp. I can't tell you the number of people who have been injured driving those cabs and those shuttles with no medical coverage whatsoever. And all those other things that you would assume to be built into procurement in these state contracts, which they're not. And so I have had numerous meetings with the various attorney generals, assistant attorney generals who represent this, and everyone has met, I think, in good faith, but I think there's really a gigantic disconnect on how this contract should be bid. And I thank you very much for your... And if you have questions, I'd be glad to take.
Just a couple of things. One, if this doesn't really concern you, but Madam Secretary, I know you sent a memo out to all the agencies making sure that they provide an explanation when they come for an extension of a procurement. Yeah. And I understand this doesn't fall under the procurement definition, but if my colleagues didn't have any objection, I would really appreciate it if you could send a memo saying when you bring a revenue contract like this, which is not a procurement but has to come before us because it involves state land, I guess, could they also provide an explanation when there is an extension, because that would help clarify a lot. I don't know whether that...
Say that again, the last part?
In other words, just, you've already sent a memo saying when you send a procurement up that requires an extension, please have an explanation included for those of us that are looking at it. And if you could just add in or send an addendum to that that says for anything like this that's not a procurement but still comes before us because it involves, I guess, state land, could the agency also give an explanation of why the contract's being extended?
If we have to vote on an extension of something, we ought to know
why. Yeah, just get it's the other part works very well, very smoothly. I appreciate the budget secretary sending out the memo. I'm just asking whether we could also send it out and include these types of revenue contracts that, for whatever reason, come before us.
In theory, they are revenue contracts, the concession contracts, and the state is bidding, and whoever is going to give the most money to the state. In this case, I'm not quite sure that's... It also is anticipated that people would have been independent contractors, but they, in fact, are not. And so it, when you bid it and when we look at it, it looks like one thing, but it's something quite different. And that's what I'm just asking you to take a look at, because I think not only are there these drivers, but there's 84 more Super Shuttle drivers who I know who have spent many times 20 hours in line at BWI to get one fare and will take home $200 at the end of a week where they've worked over 100 hours.
Let me just comment if I could. Thank you, Madam Budget Secretary, for that. It was a more generic issue. On the specifics, obviously, as the comptroller, I'm concerned with the fact that it's difficult to collect revenues, albeit small revenues, based on what you just stated. But to the extent that there are taxes that are owed, it's obviously to the state's benefit to have people classified as employees rather than independent contractors. But I guess the situation with this contract is that it's going to be up in a week.
Right. And I will tell you.
How would you possibly proceed? Because people need taxi cabs.
These people came last time and we had a meeting, and they came with the required check, I believe it was like $10,000 or $25,000, whatever it was, to bid that contract. They came in, we met, they said, sorry, too late. And And I'm, it might have been. But I can tell you that each one of these drivers has been doing this for years and years and years and years and could do it like that. They could be businessmen, they could be employees, whatever you want, but they could do it in an instant because they have been doing it, and there's only an essence of, what is this? What are we talking about? Dispatching people?
Governor, perhaps with your approval, we could hear from Ms. Goldstein at the airport to kind of clarify the situation.
Can you all please sit down if you like now? Thank you for being here.
Good morning. I'm Louisa Goldstein, and I'm Assistant Attorney General and General Counsel at Baltimore Washington International Thurgood Marshall Airport. I'm here today to speak on this item 12GM. First of all, this is an extension of an existing contract. We have over 348,000 taxi trips a year at the airport. This contract is 24 hours, 7 days a week. And the contract is set up so that the taxi drivers, who many of them are here representing the evening cabs, but also over here, there are other cab drivers who have come to support BWI Taxi Management, and their lawyer is here with them if you have any questions about some of this. But the taxi drivers get the fares and the tips from the patrons, from the passengers who take these cabs. The taxi management company receives a stand fee from each cab driver of $169 a week. Some of the cabs, approximately 43, rent their equipment from the taxi company, and they pay those rentals. And there's a third group of taxi cab drivers who are second drivers who take over for owner-operators who are on vacation. At any rate, under the contract that the taxi cab company has with the cab drivers, the cab drivers are responsible for their taxes and anything else. And I would like to say that, you know, many times businesses file a Schedule C and with depreciation from their vehicle, gasoline expenses, titling taxes, they may not get to the bottom line of their tax return that they will owe the state of Maryland or the federal government money. Of course, I'm concerned that people pay their taxes, too. It's a very, very important part of being an American citizen. But even in our Maryland state law, there are different classifications and different laws which determine whether you're an employee or an independent contractor. If you look at the Maryland insurance, the unemployment insurance, there's an exemption for taxi cab drivers from the coverage of that because in the law, in the statute. Even if you look at the living wage law, which went into effect in 2007, one of the requirements under those regulations is that the employee be paid a wage. In this case, the taxi cab company does not pay money to the driver. So I just wanted to clarify that. We're here for an extension because there were issues with the ongoing procurement related to airport disadvantaged business enterprises for concessions. And this required a great deal of review, and I think four different technical submissions by different bidders, because under the federal regulations, there are different ways to meet this kind of DVE provision. So we are asking that this contract be extended. The procurement is going on, and we hope to have that finished in a matter of months. But we still need to have taxi cab service. And we apologize that we were a little late in getting here, but we thought that it would be done before the expiration of the current contract.
But you're asking Ms. Goldstein for a whole other year.
But, Governor, I would like to point out that the board item says that we have 30 days that we can end the contract, so there is an out. So we just did a year just to make sure, because we certainly don't want to come back for another extension, and we don't think it's going to take a year. But we did this in order to make sure that there was continuing taxi service. Now, I have one other issue to bring up. They have said that they bid, but they submitted a bid in a form that wasn't in compliance with the IFB. It was late. It came by fax. It didn't include technical information that would say they were qualified to bid, so it was rejected. And that happened last June. We met with them and Mr. Singleton, their lawyer, in July to talk about a lot of these issues. And, you know, we wrote them letters and we continue to monitor the contract. I would also like to say that the other item, I believe it's 11, is limousine service. And it's not shuttle drivers. It's a different kind of contract. And as far as I know, we haven't had any interaction with Mr. Singleton on the limousine driver contract. So I respectfully request that the item be approved. Thank you very much. Yes, Mr. Controller.
Thank you. I just, obviously, I think your agency is outstanding, and you run one of the best airports in the country, but... And Mr. Wiedefeld is, you know, without parallel, and obviously I have a lot of respect for you, but I'm a little concerned here because, you know, on item 12, the fact that 13 months ago the bid solicitation was, you know, I just don't quite get what the problem is here with the lengthy bid review process that's going on, and you know, it's a little bit surprising to me because normally the airport has really got a very tight operation as far as these contracts, and this is looks to me like a relatively routine one, and yet it's dragging on, and now we may have to face some deadline.
Well, I respectfully submit that the issues related to the airport concession DBE analysis. Some people suggested that they would use dispatcher services to meet that. Some people suggested that they would use fuel purchases. Some people suggested other ways to do this. Some of the DBEs that they suggested were not certified or had become not certified because they graduated from the program. So we had to substitute DBEs, or they had to substitute, excuse me. And so during that process, all of that had to be reviewed. There was one proposal about ownership of cabs by minority people. We had to make sure that the transfer of cabs met the provisions of a commercially useful function and also that they met the requirements that the MBE or the DBE was acting independently from another bidder. So all of that took more time than normal, and it just is that's what happened. And we want to make sure that the federal regulations are met, and that's the explanation for it.
Well, I guess that's a logical explanation, but it still is surprising to me because the agency you work for is normally very tight, and this seems to be loose. Obviously, I don't want to interrupt taxi service, but I think some of these folks have a point that this is not really very tightly managed right now. So,
Louise, are you saying it takes 2 years to do what you just described?
No, I don't think it does take 2 years, Madam Treasurer, but I would say to you that in this case, there were circumstances that made it more difficult to do these analysis. And I don't want to talk about the bid process too much because it's still going on, and we may be subject to court challenge on it once we get to the end of it. The timeline that I have is that there were different submissions of technical responses. We issued the IFB on April 14th, 2010, which was right after we got the original extension. And the responses were received in December. That was the agenda. I misspoke. But we had different responses in June and August and December. We asked for revised technicals based on the DBE issue.
I mean, to me, my perspective, we could just have a quiet, please. The first two contracts seem to be no-brainers, and your explanation's fine. It's that last one that I'm not very comfortable with, and whether you have a alternative suggestion or whether my colleagues on the board share my
I mean, all I can say is we will endeavor never to have this happen again, but I can't tell you that it won't happen. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, and I can't control what bidders submit to us in response to IFBs. But we were trying to do a diligent review of the DBE plans. And I would say to you that under our regulations, other taxi cabs aren't allowed to pick up passengers at the airport, only the ones under this contract. So hopefully we would be able to get the extension approved. Are there any other questions?
And DBE stands for Disadvantaged Business
Enterprise. ACDBE stands for Airport Concession Disadvantaged Business Enterprises, and there are federal regulations which control that at airports who receive federal funding in the United States. And so this contract is reviewed under
this. This is what number of extensions that we're...
I think this is the third extension.
Well, you know, I have great respect for you and for Mr. Wiedefeld, and I probably will vote against the third one just because...
I understand. You have to do what you have to do, and we're respectful of that.
You can start over and get the... keep the cabs on the road. I can't imagine there aren't going to be cabs available.
But you're saying there are no cabs that will be legally allowed to pick up passengers?
No, Madam Treasurer, because our regulation, which is found at COMAR 1103.01.11-A3, says that outside taxi cabs who are not under this contract can only discharge passengers at the airport. They can't pick them up. This was done as an exclusive contract to make sure that patrons of the airport had taxis that met certain requirements. And it's been this way, I think, since about 1989, this kind of contract, I mean.
I have a tremendous amount of respect for you as a lawyer, and your reputation precedes you, and I have no doubt that this is a complicated matter, and because it is a complicated matter, Ms. Foster, I'd really like Secretary McDonough to get involved here and take a look at this. I mean, it could well be when it comes back to us, we would presuppose. I mean, it could well be that we decide to reject it altogether. I mean, it's just... there's just something about the equities of this that just seem a little...
We have to extend it for a year?
Yeah, why do we have to do this for a year?
It does have a 30-day out.
Well, I know you can...
You said you didn't. You wanted it for a year because you wouldn't have to come back here.
Well, I mean, no, in case there's another issue. I mean, but at this point, I mean, we need an extension because we need taxi service. So I would say... I don't know if I'm able to modify an agenda item at the board.
Well, I think we can.
Okay. Could we respectfully request for a six-month extension with a 30-day out? I would tell you, though, the history of this contract is, at least the last two times it was bid, we ended up in the Circuit Court of Baltimore City in front of Judge Burns on a mandamus, and the time before, in 2003, we also had challenges by the bidders, not by the drivers.
Right.
So that's the other issue, and I can't control that part of the process at all. I can only work to make sure everything else gets done properly.
Well, if we did 90 days, we'd be guaranteed to see you again sooner.
Well, I guess we'd be back in 90 days, and hopefully we'd be able to do it.
Or shorter if you decide.
I think if we could get it done, but I would respectfully ask for 6 months just to give us a cushion, because I know the best laid plans of mice and people don't always work out. So.
But this has been 3 years.
Yes, sir, I understand. But
all right. Well, but it is true that everything you said about the plans of mice and men, but it is also true that people work against deadlines.
I'd go for 3 months.
Looks like we have a consensus. So the treasurer moves that it be that this item, agenda item, be modified as a 3 month, 90 day extension. And that is motion seconded by the comptroller. All in favor signal by saying aye.
Aye.
So the amended item is before us, along with the balance of the Department of Transportation items. Any questions on the remainder of the Department of Transportation? Hearing none. And Ms. Goldstein, that was the first time I ever heard a legal presentation receive that sort of applause here from Board of Public Works.
On behalf of all the drivers, I just want to thank you.
And so now we move the Department of Transportation agenda items. What's the matter?
I just want to make sure the comptroller voted for the 90
days. Yeah, he voted for the 90 days. Yes, the comptroller seconded. We all voted for it. It was amended. And now all in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. And that concludes our meeting of the Board of Public Works. Thank you.
That was weird.